In thinking about Good Friday, in preparing the message, and in looking at God's Word, there were a lot of different things that I wrestled with, that I looked at, that I compared. And there was one thought that the Lord just laid upon my heart over and over and over again. Reflecting upon the death of our Lord and Savior, thinking about his last moments on the cross, what were some of the last things that he said? What were some of those very important things that he wanted to leave with us before he died? And that's what we're going to look at briefly this morning. But as I was reflecting on that, I was reminded of a family story. A couple of years ago, my dad suffered a severe heart attack. It was very serious. It was the same heart attack that claimed the life of his father. And so they called the paramedics, and of course, this was in South Africa, for those of you that didn't know. The paramedics showed up, and they loaded him into the back of the ambulance, and it was just a tense moment, because no one knew how this was going to pan out. So they loaded my dad into the back of the ambulance, and one paramedic was in the back with him, there to reassure him, and one paramedic hopped in the front to drive to the hospital. Now, it should only take 3.5 minutes to get to the hospital from where my parents live, so it should be a really quick trip. But my dad, being the missionary that he is, wasn't focused on the pain of the heart attack. He wasn't focused on what he was leaving behind. He was focused on one thing. Can you imagine what that one thing was? Saving the paramedic that was right there with him. No, I kid you not. He laying on the bed, clutching his chest, and the paramedic is trying to get him to calm down and even keep quiet. And my dad said, "I know where I'm going if I die. If I step into eternity right now, I have absolute assurance that I know I am going to be with Jesus." And he looked up at that paramedic and he said to him, "Do you know where you're going?" And as he continued to exhort and to, I mean, he's trying to teach a mini sermon with this guy in the 3.5 minutes he has in the back of the ambulance on the way to the hospital. This is, what a neat thing. Now, if it wasn't interesting enough as it is that he's taking his last moments to share the gospel, he's got 3 minutes, by the way, with this man, the guy who's actually driving the ambulance gets lost. He was listening so intently to my dad, he didn't actually get to the hospital. So the guy who was in the back says, "Switch!" So they do a Chinese fire drill. One jumps out, one jumps out, they switch. The guy who knows where the hospital is gets in, and then dad doesn't even miss a beat. He just switches tactic, because now he's dealing with an African gentleman, and he says, "I've never known an African gentleman who didn't have an understanding of something greater than himself, of something higher and more important." He just switches tactic, and he starts working on the second paramedic. Now, thankfully, the first paramedic actually gets them to the hospital. They put him on the gurney, and they're wheeling him through the emergency room, and they're looking at, he's got seconds, right? And he orders them to stop. He doesn't ask them to stop. He orders them to stop right there in the emergency entrance, not even in the ER yet. And he has to pray. He stops them right there, and he prays for the doctors. He prays for the nurses. He prays for the paramedics. He prays for the people in the waiting room. He gives them both proverbial barrels. Bam, bam. And then he says, "Okay, we can go." And he went into the ER, and they did all of the medical things. And at the end of the day, even with a full heart attack, no heart damage. That is the God we serve. Amen? Amen. The reason I wasn't just telling the story because it's a fun story to tell, because it is a fun story to tell, and it is a true story, is the last moments of a person's life, or when they perceive it's their last moments, they focus on what is most important to them. And so I want you to stop for just a moment. I want you to think about what is most important to you. What is the most important thing to you? And it was so beautifully clear that for my dad, the most important thing was taking people with him when he goes to heaven. That the people around him, the people that he loves, and even the paramedic who he had just met that day, gets to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. What is the most important thing to you? So I want you to turn with me, if you have your Bible, to Luke 23:34. If you don't have your Bible, I'll read it for you. I want us to look at just a few of the sayings. We don't have enough time to go over all of the sayings of Jesus while he was on the cross. But Luke 23:34 says this to us. Then Jesus said, "Forgive them, for they do not know what they do." While Jesus was in agony on the cross, while he was suffering the pain and the humiliation of being on the cross. His focus was on the people that were perpetrating this crime. His focus was, Father, show them mercy. Show them the mercy that they're not showing to me. Give them the dignity that they have stripped away from me. Hebrews 12:2 goes ahead and says this to us to give us a bit of insight into what was his frame of mind in this whole experience. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, he sat down at the right hand of God. What was the joy that he was set before Jesus? What was he looking forward to? What was he holding on to? You and I. We are the fruit of the labor that he underwent. We are, our lives. Showing value for us, loving us, was what held him to the cross, despising its shame. And now he sits at the right hand of God. I want to challenge you. If you haven't started that everlasting relationship with Jesus, if you don't know what it means to have a relationship with Jesus, if you're maybe just someone that's gone through the motions, that's done the right things, today is the day to start that relationship because he paid the highest price for you and for me. There wasn't a higher price that he could pay. Again, on in Luke 23, just as we saw in the video, one of the criminals that was hanging blasphemed him and said, if you are the Christ, save yourself and save us. He's mocking Jesus. It's kind of cruel to be dying and to be mocking the person that's dying right next to you. But the other criminal says, do you not even fear God? For we are under the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you that today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus saved the man. Again, Jesus' focus wasn't on his own pain, his own anguish, his own predicament of being on the cross, his own shame. His focus was on helping the thief. The criminal didn't have time for good works. He didn't have time for baptism. He didn't have time to do anything except just this one thing, put his faith and his trust in Jesus. And guess what? That is enough. And that day, he was with Jesus in paradise. So I have a challenge for you this morning. Who is on your heart today that God wants you to reach out to? Just as Jesus on the cross reached out and saved the criminal that was dying there next to him, who is it that Jesus is laying on your heart? As I was preparing this, Jesus laid someone very specific on my heart, someone with which I have an interesting and difficult relationship. And I was like, oh man, Lord, if I start this conversation, he might not speak to me. He might not speak to me for a long time. The last time we had a confrontation, he wrote me off for about 3 years. And God said, are you going to take this seriously? Are you going to do as I'm going to challenge the beloved to do today? And so I sent him the message. And I want to encourage you to send the same. John 19:25 through 30 says this to us. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, which is a symbol of respect in their day, to refer to her as woman in their time was a very respectful way for him to speak to her. Behold your son. He said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Jesus was making arrangements to take care of his mother. With his death and with the probable death of Joseph, it would be very hard for her to take care of herself as a widow. It was very hard in their time for widows. And on the cross, I love that he takes time to look after his mother. Who are the people in your life that God wants you to look after, to show care for, to step up to the plate, to wrap your arms around. Just as Jesus commended John, I want you to look after my mother. Take her into your home as your mother. I want you to watch over her. Who is it that we might be neglecting that God wants us to take care of? Think on it for just a minute. The John narrative, which is in John 19, continues and says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished and the scriptures might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now the vessel of sour wine sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and they put it to his mouth. When Jesus received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. This last thing I want to focus in on, I want you to fully understand. There's so many important things in that short little passage of Scripture. He fulfilled the prophecies. He endured the pain. He scorned the shame. He gave up his spirit willingly. He chose. He put his spirit in the hands of God the Father. And before he died, he said, it is finished. Tetelestai is the Greek. And we have other manuscripts that we can compare with to understand what is the exact meaning of this specific word. It's actually a legal term. The legal term for paid in full. If you owed someone money and you had finally come to the place where you could pay the entire debt, upon your bill, they would write, Tetelestai. It is finished. There is nothing left to pay. I once had this super profound experience with the Holy Spirit whispering this to me, and I believe he wants to whisper the same thing to you. Why do you continue to remember that which I have already forgotten? The Holy Spirit says, why do you continue to remember that which I have already forgotten? Tetelestai, paid in full, wiped out the sin debt that is so ugly that we have accrued. He has completely wiped out every last piece of it. There's not a trace of it left. He has taken all of the evidence away that we will never be convicted, that we get to stand with him in glory. So, the last challenge, and I know I'm asking a lot in 10 minutes. What are you holding on to today that God wants you to let go of? What are you continuing to remember today that God wants you to lay at the cross? Tetelestai, he paid all of it for us. The last thing I want to say is if you don't understand and if you haven't come to the place where you have a deep, real relationship with Jesus, today is the day. There is no better day than Good Friday, than today, than this moment to give your life to Jesus. To those of you that might be watching, today is the day of salvation. And all you have to do is come to Jesus in faith and pray a simple prayer like this. If you will bow your heads and close your eyes. If you don't have that relationship, you just have to pray a simple prayer like this and trust Jesus and say, Jesus, I recognize that I am a sinner, that I need you to save me. Please forgive me. Help me to turn completely away from my sin and to turn towards you. Thank you that dying on the cross took away my sin debt completely. Thank you for loving me so much and welcoming me into your eternal family. Seal me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to walk in righteousness all of my days. I put my faith and my trust in you, Jesus. Amen. And if you've done that, then you have crossed from death into life. Then eternal life begins right now for you as the family of God. The last thing that we're going to get to do together as a family is communion. It's going to be a self-serve communion. So when the band plays, you're going to come up to each table and you're going to partake of the elements, and then you're going to come back to your seat. Something very beautiful and something very profound. The bread that symbolizes his body that was broken on the cross for us. That while we were yet sinners, he died for us out of his love for us. He broke the bread and he gave it to them. And he said, take and eat. This is my body. Likewise, he took the cup and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. This is my blood that was shed for you. Take and drink." If you are a part of the family of faith, I want to encourage you to take and drink. If you're in rebellion against God, I would encourage you not to take the cup and drink. It is such a special and beautiful symbol of the blood that he paid all of our debt. So, band, if you'll go ahead and play for us. Slowly but surely, I'd like you to do two things. I'd like you to come up. I'd like you to take just a quick moment at the cross. Place your hand on it. And if there's something that you have yet to give over to him, something that you are holding on to that you know he wants you to let go of, I want you to let go of it this morning. And then I want you to take communion and then continue to worship, and then we'll pray at the very end.